All right, go ahead and have a seat, and you can turn. No, I think everybody can see me. I'll stand further back, won't stand all the way up front. My name's Chuck Duby. For those of you who don't know me, I get to work with Senior High. I work in the Senior High Youth Ministry here together with Bob, Jillian. Jillian's not here this morning, but she will be here tonight, and I hear she's going to be dressed up. Speaking of Minute to Win It, how many of y'all want to see Bob dressed up tonight? Let me hear, just clap, okay? Woo! All right. All right, so if we're lucky, Bob will dress up. And he'll take requests. So after I'm finished speaking, you can just swing by Bob, and he's brainstorming. He needs a couple ideas of what he could dress up as. So, good stuff. I definitely will be dressed up, and so I'm excited about that. So, we are continuing with our series called Lessons from the Supporting Cast. And to start out, I know it's the morning, and maybe some of you are seeing me for the first time, and just to kind of connect, I'm just going to make a small confession this morning. So I'll admit, when I was in high school, that I wore makeup. I only wore makeup for a couple of days, and I'll tell you why. This was Christmas time, or winter time, Christmas time too, and I was standing outside with my buddies. We're standing outside the school, like in the schoolyard, whatever you call it, and some of my other friends were playing soccer with a block of ice. I guess they had somehow chipped it off, and so I was standing with a circle of friends, not even playing soccer or anything like that, so one guy kicked it. It flew over the circle of people that I was standing with and hit me right in the eye. And back then, I wore glasses, so it, of course, like just knocked out like the glass of my out of my glasses. I'm standing there like stupid looking, like bonk, like, oh. And then, of course, I ran inside, you know, because I didn't want to cry right in front of the girls in front of me. So I ran inside, and then, sure enough, it just swelled up, and it was all black and blue, and my nose was black and blue. I was like, man, this looks pathetic. I cannot go to school like this. So I have an older sister, thankfully, and she kind of helped me out. And then put a little bit of makeup on it. I mean, you still saw something, but it didn't look as bad. So yeah, small confession, I did wear makeup for a couple of days. Although, I think that probably was the most makeup that I wore other than one other occasion. So a couple of years ago, I helped out the church that I was going to. They put on an annual passion play. And so somehow I got, you know, recruited, and I ended up being chief Pharisee. I mean, like, how fitting is that? So I was chief Pharisee, and I think I got a picture up here. You can see of me wearing the makeup. Michael, if you can put to the next. There you go. That's me. So I have quite a bit of makeup on there. So pretty interesting. The makeup artist asked me to do it myself, and I was like, I've never put on makeup myself. Like, how can I do this? So he ended up putting it on me, so had a little help there. So now that you know a little bit more about me, let me ask you a question. How many of you, we can go to the next slide. We don't want to be like, we don't have to look at that all night or all morning, whatever. So how many of y'all, by just like a raise of hands, are worriers? How many of y'all worry about different things? Okay. Some of y'all a little shy, I guess. But, yeah, I know I definitely am a worrier sometimes, and sometimes there are times that it's, where it's more than others, and, yeah, let me just go ahead and pray really quick before I get in. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you would just give me the words to say this morning. Lord, I just pray that for the next 30 minutes that you would just give us open minds and be able to pay attention. We got so much going on right now. So many things to think about. I just pray that your word would speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So yeah, like I said, I definitely worry sometimes. And I used to worry occasionally about my outer appearance, about small, minor money issues, you know, when I was going to buy the next, you know, big game or whatever gadget, and, you know, how I'd save up the money. I didn't really get much pocket money growing up as a kid. But a little over a year ago, I got married to my wife, Abby. She's not here this morning, so yeah, tear. But yeah, when I got married, though, the level of the number of things that I began worrying about increased drastically. All of a sudden, I'm having to provide for another person in the home. I need to be concerned about, you know, her welfare or happiness and just, you know, providing whatever, all the little necessities. I couldn't, you know, if it was up to me, I could, you know, skip a meal here and there, or I could sleep on my friend's couch if I didn't have a place to live. I wasn't so concerned about that, but when you're married, you know, the ladies don't really want that, don't want to be sleeping on your buddy's couch or something like that. So, right before we got married, I had finished up with a job at a church. I was working at a church part-time as youth director, and I was in grad school. And so right before I got married, I finished up there, graduated. It was great. It was awesome. I put in a couple months' notice at the church, kind of saying, hey, so I'm not going to be staying here, and obviously, you know, still staying in the area. So, and then I started applying for other jobs, and I applied for many different jobs, and I just put my resume out there all the time, had numerous interviews, follow-up interviews, and lo and behold, 2 weeks before the wedding, I still didn't have a job, and I was a little nervous. I was thinking, like, great, I'm going to show up at this wedding, and people are going to ask me, so great, congratulations, so where are you working, and what are you going to be doing? I'm like, oh, I don't have a job, and I just thought, oh, that looks kind of lame. So I, you know, of course, was worried, like, what am I going to do, and been applying, and the market was a little rough at the time, and so yeah, sure enough, nothing came through until 5 days before the wedding. IBM said, hey, we want to hire you. So I was like, oh, praise God, woo! He's alive. And but yeah, so that worked out, and I enjoyed the wedding, and then went almost two weeks on a honeymoon, and then came back, and that's when reality hit me again. So I came to IBM, and they said, well, you need a security clearance, so you can't work in the building at all, and we won't pay you until your security clearance goes through. So 1 week goes by, 2 weeks go by, 3 weeks go by, and I'm sitting here like, great, how am I going to pay for the bills, and how am, I mean, this area is expensive, and, you know, a month's rent is just outrageous. You can't really, it takes quite a bit. Even a little job like at Arby's or something like that would take quite a bit of saving up to, you know, pay the rent around here. So obviously I started worrying about that, and so we went through and started spending the money from that we got from our wedding. And but now looking back, I can see how God provided, how he came through, and I was worried, and now it's great to look back and see, like, man, that's just awesome how God provided, how God came through. And I shouldn't have been so worried about it, you know, because God is in control. And so, yeah, surely several of you have numerous stories of things that you worry about. Some of you may be having a hard time right now focusing on what I'm even saying, because there's so many thoughts going through your mind. You're focused on, maybe it's grades, your grades at school, or maybe you're focused on whether this guy or girl likes you or not, or maybe you shouldn't have done that, and you're like, oh, no, now they're turned off. Or maybe you're even worried about whether your parents are going to stay together or whether they're going to get a divorce. There's so many issues that we can worry about. People worry about situations that they have no control over. And what makes the situation worse is when we feel like we're struggling with it all by ourselves, when we feel alone in the situation. Fortunately, there are several stories in the Bible of people that we can look at and hopefully learn from. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open it up to Genesis chapter 16. And last week, Bob spoke on Lot. And the challenges that he faced in Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, some time before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham was worried about his life. He feared that several kings would come from the east and kill him because he had just rescued Lot and his family, and so he was all worried about that. And you know what God did? He came to him and he said, look, don't worry, don't be fearful. you know, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. Not only that, I'm going to give you a son from your own blood. We can read that in Genesis chapter 15, where we can read about God's covenant with Abraham. So God spoke to him, telling him he didn't need to worry. So after that, okay, so we know there's this covenant. God said, you know, not only am I going to give you a son, but your offspring will be as plentiful as the stars in the sky. That's a good promise, and that let him know that, okay, I'm not going to die, because if I die, then I wouldn't have a son. And what you need to know is that he was childless at the time, and it was important, because who was he going to give his inheritance to? So we read on the next chapter, chapter 16, it says here, verse 1, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go into my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. Well, the custom of this day, of this time, was that if the wife didn't have any children, wasn't able to bear children, I guess, then it was allowed, it was permissible and legal for her to give her maid to her husband as a wife, basically like the second wife, okay? And that child that maid has will then be legally the first wife's child. Does that make sense? Okay. Basically what she's doing, this is 10 years later, we read, they were in Canaan for 10 years. Oh, let me read on verse 3. Da, da, da. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. So this was 10 years. 10 years after God had promised that he would give them a son. Give them a son. And so what Sarai did, she's like, well, I guess God's not going to give us any children. Oh, hey, let's just make it happen. Let's take things in our own hands and just make it work out. And a lot of times we're tempted to do that, are we not? When we're worried about something and we're either trusting in God or we're trusting ourselves or trusting in somebody else, and if it doesn't work out, then we just kind of make it happen. We just kind of work it out instead of continuing to pray about it or trust in God. And so that's what Sarai did. And Abram went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress. So obviously Hagar gets pregnant with a child, and then she starts looking down on Sarai because she was the one that was allowed to have a child. She can bear a child, and then obviously it's like competition, if you will, kind of like jealousy, whatnot, like, oh, well, the offspring will come through me. And then if we read on further, because, you know, Sarai's upset and she doesn't like the fact that Hagar is looking down on her, you know what Sarai does? She sends her away. She says, Hagar, actually what she ends up doing, she mistreats Hagar, and Hagar ends up running away from the home. But imagine what Hagar is going through right now. Put yourself in the shoes of Hagar. She was just kicked out of the home. She pretty much ran away. She's pregnant. Imagine what she's thinking about. She's going back to her home country, which is Egypt. But for the past years, she's been serving Abram and Sarai and working for them. And they provided everything for her, right? They paid for her food. They fed her. They gave her a job. And now she's out walking. She's out in the desert, as we read here. And the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of the water in the wilderness. The spring on the way to Shur, and he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going? Let's stop a second right here. Okay, so we know it's the angel of the Lord finds her, and he says, Hagar, servant of Sarai. That's a lot of information to know, just finding her like, Abe, son of Bob Scholl. I mean, if I didn't know him, that would be a little eerie, right? But since I know him, it's, you know, I kind of know that stuff. But if I didn't know him, he'd be like, okay, sure, you're right. And what the angel says, or asks her, he says, where have you come from and where are you going? Well, wouldn't the angel know this? Like, he knows my name, he knows where I'm from, so I'm sure you know where I came from and where I'm going. But what he's doing, he's asking this question. He knows the answer, but he's asking this question to get her to think about it. It's like, think about it. You know, where you come from, where are you going? And it almost sounds like that song. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from? God, I do. So, ADD moment right there. So what he goes on to say, he informs her that she's pregnant with a son, and that she should return to Sarai, submit to her, and he also tells her that the name of her son is to be Ishmael, which means God hears, and the angel is referring to her misery right now, her just desperation. She's out in the wilderness, doesn't know what to do, where to really go. She's going to her home country, but she doesn't know where her next meal is going to come from. Obviously very worried. And Hagar, in verse 13, Hagar refers to the Lord's, refers to the Lord as the God who sees me. And then, one step further, names that well where the angel found her. She names that well, here it is, Bir Lahai Roi. Yeah, which means a well of the living one who sees me. If you go on to read the story further, you see that, well, it's like, I think it's like 14 years later that Sarah has a son. Her name's Sarah now. Sarah has a son, names him Isaac, and Ishmael starts making fun of him, kind of takes after the mother, start making fun of him, and then Hagar and Ishmael get kicked out. So she's out, again, in the desert, and God comes through and provides for her. I say all this as a narrative, you know, from the Bible, that we can see how God provides. So what does it mean to us? Though few of us, if any, have ever worried about where our next meal would come from, we have worried about other many other important issues in our life. Some of these things, some of these issues seem so big to us, they even keep us up at night, and they may even take away our desire to live. And I just want to encourage you this morning with a passage from Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, it says here, verse 25 and 26, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What will you eat? What will you drink? Nor about your body. What will you put on? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet our heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" And so I went into the day preparing for this message. My topic was, does God hear you? And you may be wondering, yeah, I've been praying to God and seeking him. Does he even hear me? Is there even any use and me praying? So we read in this passage where God says, hey, don't be worried about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat and all these other things, because life is so much bigger than that. And then he writes and talks about these birds. Look at the birds, how they don't plan for tomorrow, but God takes care of them. And he says, aren't you more important than these birds? And we are. And of course, he's going to take care of us. God takes care of his children. And here in this text, he gives us the proper perspective. And he goes on to say in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If you don't have a relationship with God, I would like to challenge you to give your life to him. Yes, there will always be issues and situations in your life that you have no control over, which will give way to worry. However, since God is in control, he can take care of you and give you peace. The issues may not go away, but he will give you the strength to get through it. And when we're talking about the topic of worry, yes, it's still an issue that I struggle with from time to time. But you know what I do is when I find myself in the situation, I pray out to God. I say, God, I just give it to you. All my cares, I just cast at your feet. Just take it. Because I believe you are the one that put me in this situation. You allowed me to be in this situation. And so I give it to you and just give me strength to get through it. And why would you not want to have that? Why would you not want to have a Heavenly Father that cares so much about you that you can go to and give him your worries? Take your worries. And somebody once said, just turn your worries. We're not supposed to worry, but just turn it into prayer. Say, God, I don't know what to do. How is this going to happen? So now that we took a closer look at the story of Hagar and Ishmael and saw how God provided, and that we also learned that we're not to worry, let's take several minutes to discuss some questions. And we don't have tables today, but what you can do is just churn. We're going to form groups of like five. Let's try that. So you can kind of shift your chairs and create groups of five. And I have some questions up here on the screen that I would love for you all to discuss.
Heavenly Father, we just right now recognize that we take on many things that are way too big for us. And we often, we've been trained, Lord, to be responsible for ourselves and to take charge of things. And so many of the times, Lord, we just think we've got to persevere. We've got to do things better. But God, this morning through Chuck, Lord, we understand that you're a God who hears. You're a God who sees us where we're at, and you show up. You come to us, and you desire to bless, and you desire to provide exactly what we need. And you've told us to be anxious about nothing, that you will provide what we need. Help us, Lord, to grow in our faith, to trust you. And God, help us to begin a new habit as we feel pressure to continually give it back to you and to leave it with you. God, and I pray right now, if there's anyone here today who has not yet ever taken that free gift of eternal life that you offer them, Lord, I pray today they would do that. They'd invite you in. They'd take your free gift of eternal life, and Lord, that you'd come in and begin to walk with them personally. Father, we do pray for tonight. We ask that you prepare tonight all the things that we need to get done. But more than anything, we pray that you would draw out tonight everyone that you want there. And we pray that we'd have an awesome time. But we also pray that some who may never have heard that God actually loves them and actually died for them personally has a gift for them. We pray, Lord, that you would draw those out and that they might have eternal life. God, give us a great day together. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.